Welcome to On the Mic Podcast. This is your host, Tim Drake. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to 2015. Hope that everybody had an excellent holiday season, a wonderful new year. It's always good to kind of take a break, be able to spend time with family, get out, travel. It's just a great time of year. I hope that everybody's was fantastic. I know my wife and I had just an amazing time. I had a lot of time off, being able to just kind of get things done around the house and you know, start some pre-production on some new films, just kind of relax, kick back. Of course, Friends finally hit Netflix, so there went a couple of my weekends, but hey, it's good to be back. The 48-hour project that we did for 48film.com, the decision ended up making the top 15. So coming up in February, 2 days after the Oscars, we will be screening for the Directors Guild in Hollywood. Really excited about this. You know, we didn't really expect this to happen. We just wanted to have some fun and see if we could make a short film in 48 hours. And yeah, finish in the top 15. So we're incredibly thrilled about that. In other big news for some of our film work, we do have Beyond the Shadows debuting this Saturday in Salt Lake, New York, and Los Angeles as part of the Online Awards Festival. So we know what the premiere right now. It is up for Best Short Film, Best Actor for my producing partner Austin Grant, and for me for Best Director. So we are incredibly excited about that. In that same festival, the music video that we did for rap artist Clawson has been accepted for Best Music Video, and also the job interview. So I know it's been a while since we've talked about that. We only have shot, you know, the 6 episodes for the first season. We're hopefully going to be doing more for the second season of it. But the pilot episode is up for Best Comedy Series. So we are incredibly excited about that. It's only the start of the award season, and yeah, so far it's going well for us. So hopefully, you know, if you're in New York, Los Angeles, or Salt Lake City, you'll be able to check out Beyond the Shadows coming up here. We also are working on getting that out and distributed to a few other festivals here. Right now we're waiting to find out if it'll be playing in Florida in a few weeks here as well. So we'll keep you updated on that. We're also right now getting ready to produce a bunch of shows for Sundance. I'm also right now helping produce all of the interviews for Radio from Hell X96 out here in Salt Lake City. We'll be doing 2 days up in Park City for the Sundance Film Festival. It's always such a fun time to meet all the filmmakers coming out. And sometimes, you know, people that, you know, nobody expected are, you know, now the ones in the hunt for the Oscar gold. I remember meeting everybody from Boyhood last year up here in Park City. And, you know, it's just crazy to see where they're at now, you know, see them win the Golden Globe just last night. See J.K. Simmons for Whiplash take home the Golden Globe. Whiplash was just phenomenal last year. I'm so excited to see that that's getting, you know, some of the attention that it deserves as well. But yeah, we'll be back up at Sundance. We'll be doing some shows for On the Mic up there. And like I said, I'll be producing the interviews for Radio from Hell on Friday the 23rd and Monday the 26th up there. And then the following week, we will be back at Salt Lake Comic Con Fan X. We'll be doing a few interview shows there, and definitely, you know, doing some video footage as well. We're going to start implementing a little bit more video into On the Mic, so that should be a great time. Stay tuned for all of that. On today's episode, I could not be more honored to have today's guest. Oscar nominee, Golden Globe winner, Emmy winner, Edward James Olmos. Most people, you know, will always herald Edward James Olmos as Jamie Escalante from Stand and Deliver, of which he was Oscar nominated. Everybody else always remembers him as well from Miami Vice, Battlestar Galactica, Dexter, and also, you know, his producing work. So we talked to him today about a new film that he has coming out that he produced and is presenting called Water and Power. It follows two brothers in Los Angeles, kind of having to deal with some gritty times in Los Angeles. And we kind of talk about, you know, how this film came about. It's being distributed by Video On Demand. You can order on iTunes. And then we'll also have all the other outlets that you'll be able to stream that as well. But the goal behind this by making it video on demand is they wanted this to be something that every family could hear as it delivers a very powerful message and, you know, be at everybody's fingertips because it can be so expensive to take the whole family to a movie nowadays. And Edward James Olmos and his crew and producing team wanted to make sure that this would be something that would be cost efficient that every family across America would be able to have at their fingertips. I think that's fantastic to be able to, you know, use the arts, you know, as a great motivational piece and be able to make it cost efficient for everybody to learn from. So welcome back, everybody. Hope you guys had a great break. We've got a lot of great interviews coming up for 2015, and we'll kick things off. Enjoy this episode with Edward James Olmos.
Edward Olmos.
Oh, hey, pretty good. How are you?
Very good. I'm good.
So, well, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on today. So I was telling my wife before we got everything ready that I feel like I've had you around my life since I was a kid.
I think you have.
So I think I was probably 5 years old or so when I first saw Stand and Deliver.
Well, that's the movie that really has become a stable force for understanding the power of cinema. I don't think there's one film that's been seen more than that film in the United States. I think it took over the brains of Gone with the Wind 12 or 13 years ago, only because of the fact that it's a great movie. It's just the story's phenomenal, but it speaks so clearly to students and to teachers. And so teachers, tens of thousands of teachers all over the United States use it every year. And millions of kids watch it every year for the last 27 years. It's amazing. It really is amazing.
Yeah, I think I probably watched it at least two or three times throughout my schooling. I would always have a teacher at least 1 year that would always show it. So it's fun. It's fun to be talking to you and being able to, you know, and be able to talk to somebody that's had a great impact on me.
Well, thank you, man. It's very kind of you. It really is.
So, well, first off, too, Happy New Year. So, I mean, it's you're our first interview of the new year. So it's great to have you.
Well, it's only the fourth, so yeah. And we're and it's on a Sunday. So, boy, you guys are too much. Thank you for taking the time to do this. I really appreciate it. Project that we're working, Water Power, it's really different.
Yeah.
I came in, I saw the piece, and I saw it as a play. I saw it two times at the Mark Taper Forum, and I gotta tell you, it was so poignant, it was so funny, it was so enlightening, it was so tragic, so emotional. And then Richard Montoya, who wrote it, formed it, Culture Clash with this group, then went on to go to Sundance, ended up creating the script for it, and it took about a year. He now went out and did it, very low-budget movie, got all of his friends. I've been out, you know, helping promote the piece, bring awareness to it, and that's a very important piece of just support. But it's not comforting, by the way. You know, are you going to go there?
So now you said you first saw this as a play then?
Yeah.
So that
was a hell of a play.
I can only imagine.
it was thrilling. The three of them did it. Culture Clash. I don't know anything about them, but they're an extraordinary group, theatrical group that has been around for over 25 years. And they've created some of the most prestigious, most intellectually stimulating pieces of work on the Latin culture in the United States ever. Between Luis Valdez, Culture Clash, Jose Luis Valenzuela, Los Angeles Theater Center over on 6th Spring, they have become the essence of the backbone of Latino culture in theater and in film too, because they're film and films. I'm inside of all of that also because I come from that theater also. I come from theater and I come from Latin theater. And my work has been, moved extensively culturally because of the culture. And that's what Richard has done. He allows you to see LA from the east side, looking west. It's pretty far out. It's a lot different than the west side looking towards the east.
Yeah.
It's usually what you get.
Yeah, I mean, most people have that West Side idea, everything of, you know, over by the 405, Beverly Hills, and they're not really thinking, you know, Echo Park and that area of L.A.
Exactly.
So now, when you decided to get involved with this, I mean, you talk the culture and, you know, really being able to drive the culture and how the play moved you. So now, is this, I noticed, you know, when I kind of watched through some of the trailers for it, you know, it has, you know, it's, you know, under your productions. So is this something that you're looking to do more of as, you know, acting towards a producer and putting out more and more films?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I've been producing since 1981. I did The Ballad of Gregorio Cortez, which we released in 1983. But we shot in 1982, but we developed in 1981 when I started the production. And The Ballad of Gregorio Cortez was my first production. Since then, I produced American Me, Stand and Deliver, now Water Power, Philly Brown, Americano, the movie, which is coming been producing, I produce other things also. I'm working on a very strong piece of work right now, dealing with the Holocaust. So it's I've been working on multi levels, but I always stay rooted inside of my cultural dynamic, because if I don't do it, then who else will do it?
Yeah, and that's a good way to look at it. I mean, it is that cultural responsibility sometimes that, you know, it's, you know, you see so much of it now of, you know, who do, you know, especially in America with, you know, where we have so many minorities, but so much of cinema is, you know, very, very much, you know, the cookie cutter family, you know, you don't see too much of the minorities in culture. And I think that's great, because there isn't a lot, you know, other than, you know, some athletes that sometimes kids have to look up to. There's not a ton in cinema. So I think that's fantastic to be able to drive that.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, I'm grateful that it's coming out on iTunes and Amazon and Vudu, you know, the digital and DVD release January 20th. So, you know, that iTunes have picked it up, and Amazon and Vudu, you know, that's the format. That's where most people will see it, because it's expensive to try to get people to go to the theater.
Right.
Go see it at the movie house. And this way, it just gets out there. People can watch it at their own leisure. And, you know, they get a chance to support the V's. They'll love it. I'll say that right now. It is. It's quite an intellectual piece of work, boy. Just spins your head around. Very beautiful. I don't know. You haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure that when you do, you'll appreciate the work that Richard Montoya has done.
Yeah, and one thing I did really like is I'd kind of watched the trailers of it. Is really, you know, keeping it as that kind of classic noir style of the entire film. I absolutely loved that I could tell right away from watching the trailers.
Oh yeah, the kid really knows what he's doing. For his first directorial, he came out like gangbusters. Hardly wait for his next piece of work.
So now with doing all the producing and everything as well, I mean, do you find the producing more rewarding than the acting, or is it, you know, just kind of a balance between the two?
It's a balance. I mean, I had to produce. I had to learn how to produce in the 1980s so that I could survive 2015.
Yeah.
If I wasn't producing my own work, I don't think I'd be doing much work. You know, I mean, I've done Battlestar, I've done Miami Vice, done, you know, different television programs. I've been on Two Guns. I've done, you know, but basically the real understanding of my life is in Stand and Delivers, the American D's, the Mi Familia's, Salinas. These movies that would not have been made had not really applied ourselves to doing them. I helped make all those movies. Jutsu, you know.
So I think that's one thing that, I mean, as I've started out my career, you know, within the industry, is it's, you really have to learn to fight for what you want. And I mean, that's what really comes from producing. I mean, if you don't have money, your show's not getting made. And that's,
yeah.
And it's a fight to make that happen.
I've just produced a film for $180,000, a little less, $160,000 cash, and on Monday night at 7. It's going to be an extraordinary piece of work. And it deals with the love story, but it deals with the Iranian community. It's really, it's amazing. I'm the stepfather to an Iranian boy, and it's amazing. You'll appreciate it. It's called Monday Night at 7. That'll be coming up probably the end of this year, towards the end of the year.
I mean, just even, you know, you talking about that, I mean, it's great to see how many different cultures that you're reaching into with all of these to really make a moving piece. And I think that's that means a lot to me to see that there are still people within the industry that are really trying to make that happen.
Yeah, I have another film that I'm working on right now. I've been working on it for 7 years now, thing on the Holocaust. Going to be quite a different look at the whole situation. I think you're going to find it interesting.
So, on that, I mean, how much work has really gone into that? Where, I mean, that's just so much research, and I can only imagine having to really build that story. I mean,
yeah, it's tough. It's really tough. It's taken, I'm on 130 rewrites, so.
Oh, wow.
It's outrageously difficult.
So, now, another question I had for you on Water and Power. So, I saw that they did this over 12 nights. So how much involvement did you have being there during the filming of those?
Well, I didn't. I wasn't there during the filming of it because I was working myself. But, you know, Rich from my end, into being there, there was nothing, you know, it was totally just letting him loose, and we let him loose. And boy, did a brilliant job. Very awesome first directorial for a young kid. So young Bean. He's in his 40s now. We're all old now.
So one thing I liked that you touched on there is releasing it, you know, through streaming and through video on demand is making it available for, you know, everybody, you know, where, yeah, it can cost, you know, $100 to take a family to the movies, whereas, you know, they can stream it at home as a family. And I mean, really help develop that sense of family too, where they can all sit around the TV with the popcorn and everybody be there for $15.
That's right.
So and I think even, you know, as we recently saw, you know, with the whole debacle with, you know, Sony and the interview, as they released that streaming, is, I mean, that it absolutely crushed numbers streaming. So and being the first feature length major feature length to ever just go straight video on demand. So I think I mean that right away shows that, you know, that's kind of what the people want. They want to be able to just, you know, buy that movie and stream it at home. So I mean, I think this is fantastic that that's the route that you guys have gone with this.
Yeah, I think so too, and I'm grateful to iTunes and Amazon and Vudu, both, all of them have chosen to put it on the air and take it in. You know, it's all financial for them. It's nothing more than making money. They give a shit about the piece. But the fact that whoever buys their product saw the film and said, yeah, we'll put this out. I like that. And encourages more films like this. And that's really what is needed. We need to support, encourage these kind of movies.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I mean, well, there's a film I'm working on right now with my producing partner that we felt it was something that we needed to address that was very powerful, kind of talking in the realms of the gay suicide rate of teenagers. So I'm kind of bringing you know, that conversation to the table. And yeah, it's something that, you know, we know that they're, especially being, you know, in a place like Salt Lake City, there's not a ton of conversation on that. And we felt, you know, it was time that we brought that to the table. And I mean, a lot of people like to shy away from some of those subjects, but, you know, I think it's great to see that there are filmmakers that are going to, you know, put forward those type of issues.
Yeah, I think that it's important. I mean, this is the strongest medium that humankind has ever created in the history of, you know, humanity. Nothing attacks us by more than the audiovisual event. Nothing. No book, no life performance, nothing. The subconscious mind is totally engulfed inside of the situation. It's being bombarded by audio and visual, you know, construct. And I got to tell you, it'll get you. I mean, that's why most people don't like to go see, you know, Jaws or Friday the 13th or, you know, Chainsaw Massacre, because it's stuck deep inside your psyche, your subconscious. Not even your conscious mind, your subconscious. Start to go to sleep, and your subconscious mind is never sleeps.
Yeah,
conscious mind sleeps, so it goes to sleep. But in subconscious thought, you all of a sudden are having nightmares. You become screaming, people chasing you around.
Which has always worried me, that some of those movies that you mentioned are some of my absolute favorites and have never troubled me. So I've always wondered what that really says about my psyche.
Well, no, I mean, basically, you've come to terms with it, and you're able to handle any thought that goes there. Well, some people can't. They get sort of terrified. And all of a sudden, their brain is showing them images that they didn't conjure up. All of a sudden, oh my God, I just had a terrible thought. And I thought, here I am fighting with my son, and I feel like opening the door and pushing him out, you know, onto the freeway as we're driving. You sit there, oh my God, how did that get in my head? Probably saw it in some movie, you know. And but basically, it's very difficult. The audiovisual event is very difficult. I mean, it's enough that it's a television really grabbing, but on a big screen, woo, with no peripheral vision, with Dolby Stereo, 5.1 sound, and
especially you get those D-box seats.
Oh my God, man, forget it, man! You just like, whoa, it's going deep into the psyche.
Eventually, some of those World War II movies will just start causing PTSD in the viewers. So, before we let you go, I have to ask. I know our fan base would kill me if I didn't ask you. But what was it like working on Dexter?
It was interesting. You know, was a different kind of a movie. I wouldn't have done it had it not been the fact that my character was never there.
And that's what made that entire season. I mean, having John Lithgow on a previous season as the Trinity Killer had absolutely thrilled me. But then I saw your names and Colin's name in the upcoming season, and I was just absolutely thrilled to see that both of you guys were in that one. And I mean, the little bit you were there, it was excellent.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
So it's been an absolute pleasure to talk with you today. So I'm really excited to see the full version of Water and Power aside from the trailers I've been able to see. And I wish you all the best with it.
Thank you so much, and I will talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Enjoy the show.
We definitely will. Thanks again for calling today.